afternoon. All right, so I'd like to start by just quickly acknowledging my co-authors. So we're at the Center on Young Adult Health and Development at Maryland, and also acknowledging funding from NIDA for this study. And I have no financial relationships to disclose, neither do any of my co-authors. All right, so to start, as Paul said, I think we're all here because we understand that excessive drinking during college is a serious public health problem. It is a priority population. And there are many different ways of characterizing alcohol use among this population. And one of the measures that comes up frequently is this 4-5 standard. It's also called binge drinking, also called heavy episodic drinking. But it's drinking 4 or more drinks in a row for females, or 5 or more drinks in a row for males on the same drinking occasion. So the 4 drinks and the 5 drinks was set as the standard because it was the amount that it takes the average adult to raise their BAC to 0.08. And it is a very common behavior among college drinkers. About 40% report binge drinking during the past month. And so at our center, we work at a lot of different college campuses around the state of Maryland. And one of the things we hear frequently is that they're very interested in screening for alcohol problems, but that resources are so limited, financial resources, staffing time. And so one of the things that we're interested in is identifying ways of screening that are both quick, like a one-item screener, but also still effective at identifying risk. So we thought about this 4-5 item, and we thought, how can it be used not just as a way of characterizing drinking behavior, but also as a screening item to look for risk among the population? All right, and so when thinking about how we could use that 4-5 measure, we thought about subjective drunkenness. So drunkenness is defined in highly subjective ways. It means different things to different people. And the amount of alcohol needed to get drunk also varies widely among individuals. There are individual, cultural, genetic, and contextual factors that all affect how drunk one feels that they are. So we thought, what if we apply this 4-5 standard as a threshold? Does it work as a marker for risk? So we decided to apply this 4-5 standard to our measure of subjective drunkenness and look at drunk driving as a risk behavior. We chose drunk driving because there is some evidence of a relationship between subjective drunkenness and drunk driving. So people who feel that they need more drinks to feel drunk, there's some evidence that they are more likely to drive drunk. All right, so our purposes were first to describe variability in our measure of subjective drunkenness, and then also to evaluate if there was a relationship between subjective drunkenness and drink driving among our sample of college students. And we hypothesized that this relationship would exist, that respondents who needed more than 4 or 5 drinks to feel drunk would be more likely to drive drunk than those who needed 4 or 5 drinks or fewer to feel drunk. All right. And so the data for this analysis come from the College Life Study. So this is a longitudinal prospective study of a cohort of 1,253 individuals. They were originally recruited as incoming first-year, first-time college students at one large public university in the Mid-Atlantic United States. They were recruited in 2004. Between 2004 and 2008, we conducted 8 annual personal interviews with them. And there were very high follow-up rates. By year 8, 76% of the original sample were still active in the study. And I should also add that we followed up with them regardless of continued college enrollment. All right, so this is a quick graphic of our study design. So you can see we followed them through the 4 years of college. Most of them were still enrolled through those first 4 years, and also for 4 years post-college. All right, and so for measures, the key item here is the subjective drunkenness measure. So we asked them, how many drinks does it take for you to get drunk? If the respondent asked the interviewer, well, what do you mean by drunk, which did come up several times, again, because it's so highly subjective, the interviewers were instructed to respond whatever that means to you. So they were allowed to define drunkenness in a very subjective way. Right, and for drunk driving, this was assessed. How many times did the following happen to you during the past 12 months? We asked about several different behaviors, one of which was you drove while drunk on alcohol. This was an ordinal variable with 5 response options ranging from never to 10 plus times during the past year. All right, and we also had impulsive sensation seeking, behavioral dysregulation, and childhood conduct problems that were measured using validated scales or inventories. All right, and so for our analysis, we used regression models to evaluate the association between subjective drunkenness and drug driving. We were able to account for demographics, so gender, race, ethnicity, age, and socioeconomic status. For socioeconomic status, we found that we did ask about their parents' income, but we found that to be a very unreliable measure. Kids don't really seem to know how much money their parents make. So instead, we used the median income of the zip code in which they lived during their senior year of high school. And we also accounted for three hypothesized risk factors, which were the items I measured before, sensation-seeking, conduct problems, and behavioral dysregulation. All right, and so we chose to use year four data for this analysis. We chose year four because that's the year in which the prevalence of drunk driving peaks in our sample. So we restricted the analyses to the 1,034 individuals who completed that assessment, who drank alcohol at least once during the past year, and who provided a valid response for the subjective drunkenness item. There were several people who responded don't know to that question, which is an interesting answer. But they were excluded from the analysis. So for our sample, the gender split is pretty even, 40% male, but it is 74% non-Hispanic white. The modal age was 21, and most people were in that age, but it ranged from 20 to 23 at the time of assessment. Most of them were still enrolled full-time in college. Because this was the year four assessment, most of them were seniors in college at that time. You can see the mean scores there for the other measures. All right, and so for the variability within subjective drunkenness, we found that it was normally distributed with a range from one drink to 24 drinks. And overall, there was a median and a mean of six drinks, but there was an important gender difference. So females reported that it took them 4.9 drinks on average to feel drunk, but for males, the mean was 7.5. Oh, I apologize for the formatting issues. So when we applied this 4-5 standard to our measure of subjective drunkenness, so first we found this below standard group. We decided to use that terminology. So these were people who needed less than 4 or 5 drinks to feel drunk. This was about 15% of the sample. About 1 in 5 of them reported they needed exactly 4 or 5 drinks to feel drunk. But you can see that the majority of them, 2/3 of the sample, reported needing more than 4 or 5 drinks to feel drunk. Right, and when you look at it by gender, again, you can see the gender difference here. So 56% of females reported needing above standard amounts of alcohol to feel drunk, whereas that was 3/4 of the sample for males. All right, so these are the results from our regression models. So first, we performed a logistic regression predicting drunk driving. And so individuals with above standard levels of subjective drunkenness were 68% more likely to report drunk driving during the past year. And those who drank more frequently, so the past year alcohol use frequently, were also more likely to report drunk driving, although those odds ratio is pretty small. And impulsive sensation seeking, childhood conduct problems were also significantly related to drunk driving. Gender and the other demographic variables, they aren't shown just for the ease of presentation, but those were also not significant. So none of our demographics were significant. And behavioral dysregulation was also dropped because it was insignificant. And for the Poisson regression, so this was predicting frequency of drunk driving using that ordinal variable. So again, you can see that very similar results with this regression. So people who needed more than 4 or 5 drinks to feel drunk were again more likely, drove drunk more frequently than those who needed standard or below standard levels of alcohol. And again, the demographic variables were not significant. Okay, and for the estimated mean probability of driving drunk, although we display them by gender, again, important to note that there was no interaction with sex. So you can see here that the probability of drunk driving during the past year, it was similar for the below standard and standard groups for both males and females, and overall, there was no difference there. But the above standard drinkers were more likely to drive drunk during the past year. And when you look at it, the results from the Poisson regression, so again, drunk driving frequency, Very similar results here, again. Below standard and standard subjective drunkenness were similar in their drunk driving frequency, but above standard were more likely to drive drunk. Drove drunk more frequently. So as a post hoc analysis, because body mass index is known to affect alcohol metabolism, we conducted a post hoc analysis to look at a moderation effect of BMI, but we found that there was no evidence for this. So in conclusion, 2/3 of the sample needed more than the standard 4 or 5 drinks to feel drunk. Males were more likely than females to be in the above standard subjective drunkenness category. And drunk driving, it was both more likely to occur and occurred more frequently among individuals who had these above standard levels of drunk drivingness. So people who needed more drinks to feel drunk. And again, sensation seeking, childhood conduct problems, and more frequent drinking during the past year were also significantly related to drunk driving. So, of course, we do have to note some limitations. So because all of the data came from one university, generalizability to other colleges is always a consideration. There is a potential for underreporting of drunk driving. Because it is a socially undesirable behavior, there is the potential that people would not want to disclose their drunk driving. There's also the subjective nature of drunk driving. Although that's what makes this analysis interesting, it also makes it very hard to measure. So there's a chance that it was underreported for that reason, or perhaps even overreported. And the categorization of subjective drunkenness could potentially obscure variability in the measure. We chose this measure of 4 drinks for females, 5 drinks for males, because of the existing standard for binge drinking, so commonly used as a measure. But there is a chance that that might not be the best threshold. It might be better as a 4-group categorization, or maybe the number of drinks needs to be adjusted. So that is both a limitation, but also a future direction for research. So this does complement the previous findings that I briefly mentioned, suggesting there is a relationship between subjective drunkenness and drunk driving. So people who perceive that they need more drinks to be drunk might underestimate their drunkenness and therefore be more likely to drive drunk. It also implies that this might be a useful item to identify college students who are at risk for alcohol-related behaviors and who are at risk specifically for drunk driving. But because we did only look at this one risk behavior, future research is needed to look at whether or not this measure and the screening item is associated with other alcohol-related consequences. All right, thank you.